Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by Menlo Park Dental Excellence, providing general dentistry with quality care to all patients, serving patients one at a time with no triple booking, flexible hours Monday through Saturdays, mpdentalexcellence.com.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The U.S. Supreme Court has struck down in a 5-4 decision the Defense of Marriage Act as unconstitutional, a deprivation of the equal liberty of persons protected by the Fifth Amendment. The higher court has also vacated the Ninth Circuit Court's decision on Proposition 8, banning same-sex marriage in California. The case is remanded with instructions to dismiss the appeal for lack of jurisdiction. The California Report's Scott Schaefer joins us here in studio now to go into more detail. Scott, what do you see as the most interesting, relevant, surprising aspects of the way the decisions came down today?
Well, it wasn't a surprise the way they came down, with both DOMA being struck down and Prop 8 being struck down. What I found interesting with DOMA is that they got to the merits. There were a lot of analysts who thought that perhaps DOMA would get struck down on the basis of states' rights and allow the court to sort of punt on the question of equal protection and discrimination. But they didn't do that. With a 5-4 decision, Kennedy, quoting from his own Lawrence decision back in 2003, talked about private consensual sexual intimacy between two adult persons of the same sex, saying it can't be punished by the state, and that same-sex marriages need to be treated equally. That's a big deal because there's no way not to see this as an expansion and a confirmation of rights for gay and lesbian people. On Prop 8, the unusual thing was the lineup there. You had Prop 8 being struck down on the basis of legal standing, and you had Chief Justice Roberts writing the opinion, joined by Scalia, one of the most conservative justices. And then you got Sotomayor, the liberal, and Kennedy, who struck down DOMA, saying they dissented. So it was an unusual lineup in that regard. In the end, Prop 8 falls, and gay marriage is probably going to be legal in California broadly by the end of July.
So what happens in California from here on out?
Well, I say probably, because what's going to happen now is the governor and the attorney general and the counties need to begin to implement this order. They get 25 days or so to do that. Now, the proponents of Proposition 8 have said all along that they think that because this wasn't a class action lawsuit, that it only applies to the four plaintiffs and perhaps the counties that they live in. So the lawsuits were filed in Alameda County and L.A. County. And there may be additional litigation about whether this applies statewide or not. So, you know, we may be back in court to answer some questions like those.
Back in court, will we see these issues come up again on the ballot box?
I don't think so. I mean, the supporters of Prop 8 are going to be holding a news conference later this morning, and I'm sure they'll be asked that question. Public opinion has changed quite a lot in California since 2008 when Prop 8 passed. It passed narrowly then, and now opinion polls show pretty clearly that a strong majority of Californians support same-sex marriage. And so I'm not sure, you know, they can read those polls as well as anyone, and I don't know that they're going to want to raise all the money. They spent $40 million last time. I'm not sure that they'll have the will or the way to get that done again. So they may fight it legally, in terms of the breadth of the ruling, but I doubt you're going to see this back on the ballot.
You've been keeping in touch with people on all sides of the story over recent years. What are you hearing from folks this morning?
We did talk with Karen Galinsky and her partner, Amy Cunninghus. Karen Galinsky is an employee of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. She has her own DOMA case. It was not considered by the Supreme Court. It has been on hold while the U.S. Supreme Court considered these other cases. But we did talk with them this morning, and here's what Amy Cunninghus had to say.
This has been such an incredible journey for us and for people across the country of ups and downs and decisions, and yet until the highest court of the land ruled, you know, we've been on pins and needles. And to know now that our marriage, which is legal in California, is now actually recognized by the federal government is just so incredibly moving to me.
And what that means, Rachel, is that there are some 1,100 federal rights, from inheritance to tax benefits, if you're in the military, the rights of military spouses, all those things that heterosexual couples get will now be conferred upon same-sex couples. That's a big deal.
A historic day. You'll have more to report about it coming up. Scott Schaefer, thank you for talking with us today.
My pleasure.
We have more coverage developing as the story does on our website. Look for the link to it online at californiareport.org. A new study from Stanford is fueling the debate over whether charter schools do a better job of educating students than traditional public schools. Sharla Bayer reports.
To figure out if a student benefits from a charter school versus a traditional public school, study director Margaret Raymond says the researchers compared test scores over 4 years for students they considered virtual twins.
Each of our charter school students in our study is matched to a student who looks like them in every other way.
That includes factors such as race, free and reduced lunch status, and test scores at the start of the study. By attending a charter school, the average student in California appears to gain the equivalent of 22 days of reading instruction a year, but that student loses 7 days of math instruction. Raymond says charters have improved slightly since she did a similar report in 2009. The report also gives fodder to critics of charters. Diane Ravitch is an education historian and professor at New York University.
What's especially surprising is how little difference there is between the results of kids in charter schools and kids in public schools.
She says it's quite an accomplishment for the state's public schools to do better than charters in math, despite having a lot more constraints. For the California Report, I'm Sharla Bayer.
And finally today, a study from Brown University finds Asian Americans, the fastest growing, highest earning, and best educated people in the country, are almost as segregated from the nation's white population as they were two decades ago. California is home to 5.5 million Asian Americans, a third of the country's Asian American population. So the study authors talk a lot about neighborhoods here, particularly Los Angeles and Orange counties, home to what study authors describe as ethnoburbs. Suburban areas filled with cultural and economic amenities that make it attractive to stay put, even for younger generations. As one author wrote, quote, "If your neighborhood is doing well, what would be the motive to change?" What do you think? Do you live in an ethnoburb? Does it serve as a strength to your family? Or do you think you'd be better off moving out? Continue the conversation on the California Report's Facebook page. That's the California Report for Wednesday, June 26th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Follis Family Fund for coverage of climate change. The California Teachers Association, celebrating 150 years of advocating for all students, educators, and California's public schools and colleges. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as stopping email-borne viruses and preventing data leaks. Barracuda.com.